Today we're talking about people pleasing, how other people see you, and all that relates to those things. Here we go.
Hi, I'm Jessica Vallant, a physical therapist and Pilates teacher, and I want to bring science-based knowledge, empathy, courage, support, love, and hopefully some fun to the journeys we have with our bodies. There is hope and strength in your body, and my goal is to help you find it.
Hi, welcome back to Meet Your Body. It has been a while. It has probably been about a month, and I did not expect that break to happen at all. We started season three with a new episode, and then I actually ended up having some complications from my surgery, which I think are fine now, but that threw a little wrench in plans. And then you might be able to hear it, but I completely lost my voice. And so I'm still dealing with that. So I'm sorry I'm scratchy, but I just did not want to wait anymore to record this podcast and talk to you. This is actually a subject that has been on my mind so much, and I've been taking voice notes on my walks over the past week, like trying to just talk to myself quietly to make sure I didn't forget everything that I wanted to talk about, because I have a feeling many of you can relate to our topic today and will probably be nodding along as I talk, and hopefully there'll be some kind of eye-opening moments as we go through our topic today. So we're going to be talking about people pleasing and some things that relate to that as well, like being okay with how other people see you. So not necessarily being in charge of how of other people's perceptions of you, and being okay when people might be wrong about you. I'm kind of lumping all of that together. And gosh, I feel like this idea of people pleasing is kind of thrown around a lot, especially right now. We talk a lot about, oh, people pleaser, and we talk about boundaries. But I really want to dive into kind of personally what that's looked like in my life, because I've really looked at it a lot in the last couple weeks. And it's been interesting to me as I've gone back and seen some patterns and how it manifested when I was a kid versus how it manifested in my 20s versus how it's manifesting now in my life, because those look very different, but I think they actually all stem from the same like basic place. So I'm going to talk about that, and then we're going to talk about why this is important, so what this can lead to if you live in a place of this kind of people-pleasing personality or coming at it from that lens, what that can lead to. And that's why it really relates to Meet Your Body, because it can be a physical reaction over time. You can actually physically feel the effects of this over time if you don't break out of this pattern. And then we'll talk at the end about kind of what I'm looking at, so some things I'm remembering around this and things that have helped me as I'm starting to kind of try to break out of this most recent pattern in my own life. So why this is kind of at the forefront of my mind now is a couple things that happened last month. One thing is we changed a few things within my business. So within our business, we changed a few things, just a few ways we structure a couple things and a couple policies. It happens, right? I mean, all businesses do this every couple years. We go through a few changes. We're going to either make updates, we look at our business practices, all of that stuff, and we make changes. And I know that anytime changes are made, there are going to be some people who are great with it, and then there are going to be some people who don't like it. And that is the way of the world. And I know this, and I knew that going in, but we did make a few changes, and I definitely received some messages and some emails of people voicing their displeasure. Again, normal, expected, but a few of those emails, and I have gotten this before, okay? This is nothing new to anyone with a business or even with a platform. It's common, especially right now for content creators, that we hear things like, wow, what you're saying really doesn't match what I thought of you as a person. Or, oh my goodness, this really makes me question whether I'm even going to follow you because I don't necessarily believe in this new choice you're making, or this doesn't seem to match your values. Those kind of backhanded kind of ways of saying, you're not who I thought you were as a person. So I got a few of those. Again, it has happened before. I know it'll happen again. It's hard when it happens, but those things came. And then on top of that, or along with that, we have something really exciting happening in our family. So my husband and me and our two kids, we have just something really, really exciting happening for us that we are so excited about, something we've been kind of working towards and dreaming of for, I mean, I would say a year and a half, maybe 2 years, maybe longer. Just something that's right for us. That, again, a decision we did not take lightly, but that we're so excited about. And it was kind of made known to me and made clear to me, someone who, in my life, in our lives, who does not agree with that decision that we are making. And that was a hard one for me too. That was a really hard one for me. And so those two things combined manifested itself in me as, oh my gosh, I really, really want to explain myself. I need to explain myself, because if you just understood, it would be okay and we'd be on the same page and everything would be fine and I could fix all of these relationships. And it really sat on me for, I mean, a while, like a couple weeks. And it's still there, to be honest. It really is. It really is still there when I dig down deep, that desire to do that. And so I wanted to look farther into that, which brings me to going back even all the way to being a kid. So let's back it up for all of us. And then I'll get back to this idea of where I started with wanting to explain myself. So when you think of people pleaser, like, all of us want to be liked. And that's what it seems like on the surface, right? On the surface, it very much just sounds like, oh, I want to please other people. I want to make them happy. And I want to be liked. Both of which are not unreasonable things. I mean, why would we not want to be liked? And why would we not want to make other people happy? Those are reasonable. Those are very, very understandable things. Those are normal things. And they probably go back to human evolution, to be honest. I mean, I would think that when it comes to early human survival, the people that were liked by their community, the people who did the most for their community, the people who offered the most, would get more help, would get more food, would have a higher rank in the community, which led to a longer life and a more likelihood of surviving and their kids surviving and procreating and all of that stuff that we look at for evolution. So I'm guessing it goes back to that. So again, these are normal things. I don't think anyone would say that it's not a normal desire to want to be liked and to want to make other people happy. I think I probably started off with a people-pleasing personality. Say that three times fast. People-pleasing personality. I think some of us do more than others. I am also the oldest child and the oldest girl, which there's actually research now that shows that we have our own set of things that we deal with as the oldest child and the oldest girl. We feel very much a responsibility towards our siblings. We feel a higher responsibility in our family hierarchy, and we feel that from a very young age, and there are studies that show that now. So I'm sure that plays into it too. And then also there are some things that happened in my childhood, both family things, and then if you go back and listen to, gosh, maybe my very first episode, I tell you all about my health history that started when I was 8. I was in the hospital when I was 8, and all of my health history really started then. Also, this idea that I wasn't safe in my body started then. So I have a feeling all of those things contributed to me at an early age believing that if I could make other people happy and if I could please other people, then I could maybe control a situation that felt very out of control to me. If I made the right choices, I'm saying that in air quotes, if I made the right choices, then I could make other people happy, which gave me a better chance of feeling like a situation was in control. And again, things felt very out of control to me at that time, at that young age. So that is my guess. If I really had to dig into my own personality and be my own therapist right now, just this is like a therapy session a little bit, that would be my guess. And probably, again, some of you are probably nodding along with different kinds of trauma in your history and in your past, or maybe no trauma whatsoever, but just again, where your role fell either in your family or in your community group led you to feel like you could either, again, make other people happy, people please, whatever it is for you, that would make a situation more tolerable. So then I look into it and what it really turned into, because I don't see myself making all of these decisions for other people. I definitely did some, for sure. But it also turned into me wanting to be seen and recognized. Like, I figured that out in my early 30s. I was doing some work and realized one of my biggest kind of values in life was being recognized. And I can look all the way back to high school and see that. I was putting so much work towards all the activities I did. I mean, I did soccer, I did musicals, and I was singing and all of the things. I was getting good grades. And I look back and I didn't necessarily want to win. Like, that wasn't my personality. I wanted to be recognized. Like, I wanted to be singled out and just have someone in authority say, "Great job, Jessica. Yes, you get the solo, Jessica. You got that part. We see how hard you've been working. We see that you didn't get that part last year, so we're going to give it to you." Like, I just worked so hard and I wanted to be recognized for it, I think. And same within my family, honestly. Like, I just felt like I was working so hard to help bring things together, to keep people happy, to do the right thing. And I think it was this idea of wanting to be seen and recognized. And again, you might kind of relate to that and you might not, but I think they play on each other, this idea of people pleasing and that idea of being seen, being recognized, being heard, all of that. So that carried me through, for sure, high school. And I look back and I'm like, gosh, I just want to give that girl a hug and say, you know what, you can make a different choice. Like, you don't have to make that choice that you made for other people. You can make a different one. But it was part of my journey, and it is for a lot of us. So it went through college. And then I would say probably, again, late 20s. You know when this really happened, actually? I have it in my notes. I think it really happened in my middle 30s when I had kids, when we had our first kid, our first child. And also that was around the time, just a little bit after, that I started to have a platform online and on social media. But especially having our daughter really solidified some confidence in me around the idea of kind of that need to be seen and recognized and those kind of things. I found my own voice a little bit. And I think it came with having her and realizing, oh, there's something much more important in the world that I'm going to fight for. Like, there's nothing that ever is going to top her. And then, you know, when we had our second child, the same thing. Nothing will ever top that. So I am never going to feel a need to apologize for my actions if it involves putting her first. Like, that was a clear line to me. I actually, as a recovering people pleaser, that felt like so much freedom to me, because I felt like, wow, I don't have to think about every other person anymore. I just have to think about her, because that's what matters. Her, my husband, me, our family unit. So it gave me a lot of confidence in my voice. And then having a platform, and you guys have heard me say this, I take it very, very seriously. Like, it is an absolute honor and privilege to have a platform, to have a voice, to have the microphone. And I take that very seriously. And I do think about how I can use my voice. And I know, and some of the choices that I've made and I will continue to make, because I'm very clear about what kind of safe space I want this to be and who I want it to be a safe space for. I'm very clear about that. And so I know that there will always be some pushback around that from some people. And that's okay too, because again, it's such a strong conviction I have. So somehow those two things both made me more confident in my voice and making the choices that I make, so that I didn't feel like I just needed to make everyone happy anymore. So I kind of went away. Again, I started, I think, as a young child, you know, very, when you're looking at the world a little bit black and white, is, oh, I can make that choice and make that person happy. And if they're happy, then I'm safer. Done. I will make that choice. Like, that's the lesson I had as a very young kid, for whatever reason. And so it turned into more this need to be recognized and seen and working my buns off in my 20s and my early 30s at work and everything, just being like, see what I'm doing, see what I'm doing. I'm doing my best. I'm doing something good. Does anyone see it? And then, like I said, I kind of found my voice and got more comfortable with that. And I think where, for whatever reason, it kind of again shifted into more of now where I am that I really need to work on, that I don't want people to be wrong about me. Like, I have this need to explain myself. And whether that is online, on posts I make, in emails that I get, in decisions that I make, in friends, in family, in whatever it is, if I feel like someone disagrees or, you know, if they send something, it doesn't even have to be mean. But again, kind of I go back to that, oh, you're not who I thought you were. Or, oh, why would you make that decision? Don't you know this person's this and this and this, whatever it is. I have this deep-seated need to be like, no, no, you just don't understand. Like, let me explain. Like, I will write a 2-page email in my brain, in my mind. Most of the time, this is just in my mind. Or write a long text back, being like, no, let me just explain my decision, and you'll get it, you know, and then you'll understand. I don't want people to be wrong about me. I don't necessarily need us to agree. I feel like I've evolved past that. I know we're not always going to agree. But I feel like, okay, I want someone to kind of think, oh, I don't agree with that choice of hers, but I understand why she made it. Like, we can have a human connection still. I'm not going to judge. We're not going to agree, but that's okay. We're going to live different lives. I want that kind of lovely, rosy relationship with every human being on the planet, which when I say it out loud, obviously this is not realistic, but that's where I think it has come. And that is the piece over the past month that has been hard for me, because I know both in business and family, we have made the decision 100% that's right with us, that's right with our values, that is right for our long-term goals, all of that. And also I know it's not the decision everyone else would make because we are all different. But I want people to understand, and I still want them to think I'm that person that they believe me to be. And that's where I've gotten stuck, because it just has eaten away at me for whatever reason of this idea of, and then this idea that I'm not who people thought I was. And then I start to even question the decisions. And that's where I want to get in. I think that's what made me want to really talk about it, because these kind of things, living in these places, makes us question ourselves and our own value. And it just can't, we can't let it get to that point. And there's a lot of things, detrimental things, that'll come from living a life this way. And what it's done, at least for me in the past few weeks, and again, it's a rumination. We get into these cycles, and I got into it for whatever reason. And I can blame my post-surgery and my exhaustion and my emotions, definitely my emotions from my diagnosis, all of that plays into it. But I really want to be able to get past it, because it's not the last time this will happen. And when I do get into it and cycle in this way, it takes away from everything else I have to offer. It takes away what I can offer my kids, my family, my community, my platform, you all, my unlimited members. It takes away from it because my focus is on that one thing, like that one person who's not agreeing or who thinks poorly about me. My focus just ends up there. And that's not the way it should be. That's not helpful to anyone. So that gives you a little context around me, at least, like why I want to talk about it, my history with it. So if you have a similar history, you know you're not alone. And I will say too, I always like to put this in there. I have had therapy before. I had therapy in my early 20s, and it was absolutely vital for me getting out of a big piece of this. I mean, I say it to this day. I believe therapy saved my life. I really do. And I always go back to that. I go back to some of the tools I learned, and I still think there are times I'm like, if I can't get out of this, I need to go back to therapy to talk it through. So if it is at a point that it is ruining your relationships, or it's something deep-seated from your childhood, I highly recommend therapy. It did help me a lot. like I said, I really think it was the main piece that helped me get out of the severe people pleasing that I was in. But I always want to throw that in there. Okay, so let's talk about what can happen, like the side effects that can happen when we live in a people pleasing place. So one thing that can happen is we devalue ourselves and our opinions. We put other people's opinions as more important than our own. So we automatically, in our own minds and in our own eyes, we automatically take value and worth away from ourselves, because what we're doing is we're putting more value and more worth on other people and their opinions. Now, again, if you look at this at a very surface level, you might say, well, that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to put other people first. And I, again, am not talking about that kind of those simple decisions of you're with your family and you say, you know what, you take the aisle seat. No problem. It's not a big deal. Or you're in line with a stranger at the grocery store and they seem like they're in a hurry and you say, you go ahead and go in front of me. Go for it. Yes. Those are acts of kindness, okay? Acts of kindness are great, and they're very, very important. Keep doing them. Also, by letting that person in front of you in the grocery line, you are not telling yourself that they're more valuable as a human than you are, okay? The key is to know the difference. You need to have confidence and security in your value and worth as a human being on this planet, which I believe we all have equal value and worth. It is one of our human rights to be valued and to have worth. And yes, problems do arise when people look at other groups of humanity and decrease their worth and their value. They dehumanize them. Absolutely, that is a big problem in our world. That is not what this is, okay? You showing acts of kindness to other people is very important. Keep doing it. Add more. We need more kindness in the world. What I don't want you to do is think of someone else as more valuable than you are. Another thing that happens over time is we lose any knowledge or awareness about what makes us happy or what needs we have. And this became clear to me actually in therapy when I was working with my therapist, and she said, well, what would make you happy? And I said, I mean, without no hesitation, I said, well, if this person and this person were happy, then I would be happy. And she said, well, no, what about you? And I said, no, if they're happy, that's what would make me happy. If they're happy, then I am, and we're all good. I just want to do what they want. Like, that's what I'm at. That's actually why I was in therapy, because I was trying to make a decision. And I was looking to her to help me make the decision. And I'm like, I just want to make the decision that's right for them. So will you just help me do that? This isn't about me. This is about me making them happy. And she just looked at me and said, well, you need to know what makes you happy. And I had no idea. I had no idea what made me happy. Only as it related to somebody else. And that was a big eye-opening moment for me. So again, one of the side effects that can happen is you lose any awareness about what makes you happy. So make sure that you stay in touch with that. And if you're not in touch with it, make sure that you get in touch with it. Another thing that can happen when we feel like we're just always people-pleasing, it just is way too much pressure on someone to feel like they are responsible for another person's happiness. And I say this from experience, because that is very much what I felt as a child, that I was responsible for someone else's happiness, a specific person. And I didn't know until later in life how much pressure that was for myself. And again, it wasn't anyone's fault. I want to make sure that I say this. Nobody made me feel that way. It was just whatever it was, those things I said. Maybe I was born that way. Maybe it was being the oldest daughter. Maybe it was so many things. It was nobody's fault. It happened. And so it was just so much pressure. And it turned into me. So in my early 20s, before therapy, I was seeing 20 physical therapy patients a day. That was normal in my job. I was expected to do it. And I remember somebody came in once like 5 minutes late and they were clearly in a bad mood. Not mean or anything, just clearly down. Something was going on. And I tried to do my normal banter and nothing happened. You guys, the whole rest of the day, I was like, what did I do wrong? I must have done something wrong because they came in upset today. What did I do wrong? I have to be different next time. It's all up to me. Something happened. And that is, well, one, it's silly because that person came in with who knows what kind of baggage or what kind of day they were having. But that is what I went in with because my whole life had been, it's my responsibility to make everybody else happy. And this person isn't happy, so I must be doing something wrong. And I can't tell you how much I nail this point home with our kids over and over again, that they are not responsible for other people's happiness and they're not responsible for my happiness because I know the kind of pressure that is. So that can happen to you. It can happen to other people around you. If you feel like you are the one responsible for someone else's happiness, it's just too much pressure for one person to sustain. Another thing that can happen is you become unaware of when it's actually important to make a true apology or to actually repair a relationship. So I believe very much so that making an apology, saying you're sorry, is one of the best qualities and lessons that someone can learn and have. Like, I think it's so important to know when an apology needs to be given and to be able to give it clearly with no caveats. That is so important. And what happens actually, if you're always people pleasing, then you might be saying sorry all the time. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean that. Oh, sorry, sorry, sorry. I was that person. I was always saying sorry and I didn't even know why. I was just like, if I just say sorry, it'll just fix it. So I'm just going to say sorry all the time. Well, you know what happened? I lost the ability to actually use sorry when it was needed. So it lost its true power because I was always saying it all the time. So please know that there are times that an apology is needed. There are absolutely times when a constructive conversation and a hard conversation needs to be had. And when you are constantly in a place of, oh, sorry, sorry, I'm just going to make you happy, then you actually can lose the ability to know when you need to make that true apology. And then the last thing that can happen is it can all lead to bitterness and resentment. And it's pretty much inevitable. You cannot live a life of making only other people happy, of saying sorry all the time, of devaluing yourself or forgetting what you like or denying your own wants and desires. You cannot live a life like that without it leading to some kind of bitterness and resentment. You'll get resentful at the people you are actually trying to help because they are not turning that back to you and helping you. You will get bitter because boundaries aren't set, and so people are always crossing your boundaries and not asking what you need. People will get used to you never offering an opinion, and so they will stop asking for an opinion, and you will become bitter and resentful at some point. This is not at all something I'm saying bad on you. It is inevitable. For me too. Research shows us it's actually inevitable for people pleasing. And we don't want to go there because what happens is we will have detrimental effects on our relationships if we continue in this pattern. So the very thing we are trying to avoid, which is that idea of breaking of relationships, the very thing we're trying to avoid will happen if we don't fix these patterns and correct them in our lives. And physically, what can happen is everything we have talked about in previous episodes when we talk about chronic stress and anxiety and what that can do in your body, because that's what this will lead to as well. It leads to chronic stress and anxiety. Like always wondering, is what I'm doing enough? like that's where I was. I mean, I was always trying to make other people happy, but I never knew if it was enough. Am I doing enough? Are they mad at me? Are they not texting me back because I did something wrong? Like that constant verbiage in your head will lead to chronic anxiety, which will lead to detrimental effects in our bodies as well. We can lose sleep. We can have immune system issues. We can start to have brain fog. We can have a shorter kind of fuse, right? We can get more angry more easily. There's so many things physically that can happen. And that is a big reason why it's important to deal with it now. So those are the side effects of long-term people-pleasing, feeling like you always have to explain yourself, feeling like you always have to say you're sorry, right? Keep an even keel, don't rock the boat kind of life or mentality. So let's talk about some things to remember to help us get out of those patterns. The first is it just takes so much energy. It is exhausting. And true relationships should not be this exhausting. Now, notice I didn't say it's so hard and true relationships shouldn't be hard. I don't believe that. I believe sometimes they are difficult. And sometimes we have to make some relationships work that we can't always walk away from. But they shouldn't feel that soul-sucking exhaustion where you're constantly wondering if you did something right or did something wrong. And that's what this can lead to. Like, is it worth your energy to constantly have to explain yourself to that one person? Is it worth your energy to constantly worry if you said the right thing or didn't say the right thing? Is it worth your energy to constantly change your own desires because you need to make that other person happy? And you know what happens most of the time? Like, even over and over and over again with you making those choices, they still don't change. Like, that's what it feels like to me, that I am using this energy to kind of chase after and beg and plead other people to stay or to understand or to like me. And they're the people who never will anyway. Like, no matter what I do or what I say, they're not going to approve of it. Or they're not going to like it, and I am spinning my wheels and using 90% of my energy on that instead of on things that make a difference, instead of in my community and in my family and loving on people and using those acts of kindness and spreading a good word, all of that. Instead of doing that, I am begging that 1% of people who, honestly, I will never, ever change their opinion. The second thing to remember: not everyone in the world is going to like you. And I'm so sorry if I am the first person to tell you that. But it is true. There are billions of people in the world, and not everyone will like each of us. It is just a fact. There is a great quote out there that says, "You can be the juiciest, most delicious, perfect summer peach in the world, and not everyone is going to like you because not everyone likes peaches." And for whatever reason, that helped me a lot when I read it, because I realized you just have to be the perfect version of you, and not even perfect. I don't mean that. I'm just still thinking about peaches. I'm sorry. If you're a peach, if you're a plum, if you're an orange, if you're kale, if you're an avocado, if you are a piece of chocolate, I just want you to be the best at what you are. I want you to step into that. Like, step into that beautiful space that the universe created for you that doesn't look like anyone else's space. It's not meant to. We all are meant to hold a different size space in the world, a different shape, like snowflakes, like fingerprints. We are all different. And there is no way, there's no possible way that everyone is going to like us. And why that's hard, I don't know. I probably need a whole lot more therapy to figure that out, but it just is. I know logically we know this, but it's still hard because we want everyone to like us, but they just won't. And then what I add, because I even tell this to my daughter, we have a lot of lessons we're learning about friends and going into middle school. There's a lot. I make sure and tell her, not everyone's going to like you. And I don't stop there. Okay, I don't stop there. That's not the end of the story. And it's okay. It's normal. I tell her, you don't like everyone, right? You appreciate them as a human being. We value them. We give them value. We give them worth. But they don't have to be your best friend. Not everyone does. You need to respect them. You need to give them value. You need to give them worth. But they don't have to be your best friend, honey. And that is okay. That is absolutely normal. It's more important to have your community that you are willing to work with and work for and have those hard conversations and move forward in love and let people love you. We each have our own garden to tend. We don't always have to jump into other people's gardens to make sure they like us too. The next thing that I want you to remember, and this is a quote from Brooke Castillo, and I love this quote. Came to me at just the right time in the last month. It says, "It's not my job to manage your perception of me. It is not my job to manage your perception of me. It's not my job. My job is to be myself, to live my purpose, to be kind. My job is to love others, to be true, to be honest, to know my values and my mission, to live with integrity, to make sure my kids know that I love them more than anything else on the planet and I would do anything for them, to make sure that my husband knows that he is the one I have chosen and I would choose over and over again, to make sure my unlimited members know that they are worthy, that there is a space for them. That is what my job is. My job is not to manage what other people might perceive of me based on all of that, because I can't change it. And so if I put that pressure on myself, I'm just going to fail. So if someone has a false perception of me, again, as long as I've done all of those other things, as long as I've been honest, as long as I am living in my truth and I'm tending my garden and I'm loving people and I'm being kind and I've lived in integrity, if people have a perception of me that's wrong, that's going to be on them, and that's not my job to change. And another one that's really been important to me the last month that Alex L. says, who's absolutely fabulous, you have to let people be wrong about you. And gosh, this is so hard for me because like I said at the very beginning, right now I'm in a place where I'm just going to explain myself and then everyone will get it. I just want us all to get along. So I'll just explain myself and it'll be fine. No, that doesn't work. I know I've tried it. And a lot of times by trying to explain myself, I just double down on someone being more angry at me or, you know, even hardening their perception of me. Like I'm just giving them fuel for their fire for whatever reason. And you can probably relate to that. So sometimes you really have to gauge your own energy and you have to walk away or just not even engage and be okay with someone being wrong about you. You don't always have to defend yourself and you don't always have to explain yourself. You can walk away and it's really hard because honestly, I still want to go back from a month ago and be like, oh, but I could say this and this, but that person will just, they'll just understand. Or honestly, I just want to give them what they want and be like, yeah, I'll just change it. I just want them to be happy. Like it is sitting on me heavy that some people aren't happy with me. I still think about it, but I'm trying to remember these things. And this is a big one, that you can't win an argument with someone who's already determined to be right about you. If they're already determined that they are right and they don't like you, then there's nothing you can say to change their mind for the most part. So you can walk away. And I know that's hard. And you can grieve if you need to. You absolutely might have to. Because some of this does mean that you could lose some relationships. And that's hard. And I have been there. And that's really, really hard. It's easier to deny ourselves sometimes. It's easier to say, you know what? I don't need anything. I don't need to set a boundary. I don't need any of this. I just want you to be happy. Just here, take it. Just do what you want with it. I would rather be there. Whew, okay, that was easier. But I'm telling you, long term, that doesn't help anyone out. You have to be okay sometimes with people being wrong about you and walking away. And you can mourn the loss of a relationship or the loss of a friendship. And I have, and it's hard. But it's sometimes what we need for ourselves to be able to move forward. And then the last thing kind of to remember, and some things, this idea that I go back to, is has that person earned the right to be in your circle? So if you are feeling like, gosh, this is something that needs to be repaired, or I do really need to explain myself, or I don't want them to be wrong about me. And sometimes those are the cases. Like, absolutely, like I said, this is not every case. There are times that you really need to sit and have these conversations. You can't walk away from everyone. But ask yourself, have they earned the right to be in your inner circle? Like, those people who, and again, I can use the example for me because sometimes it just comes in my DMs on Instagram. That's really commonplace. I get them. Sometimes it's in an email. Sometimes it is someone close who makes it known to me their thoughts about me. And I kind of ask myself, have they done anything to show that I can trust them with my feelings? Meaning, if it's someone who has either one, you don't know them whatsoever, right? It's a stranger. Or two, let's say it is someone in your life, but that person has never actually shown you any positivity. They've never asked you about your happiness. They've never participated in your happiness. They have only been there maybe to give you slights or to have some bitterness towards you. Ask yourself, is it really worth this energy I'm still putting out there? And for me, I go deeper and I say, have they earned the right to be here in this decision with me? Have they stood by my side through the ups and the downs? Have they shown me their own vulnerability? Have they earned the right to be in my mind and for me to dwell on this? Why do I keep trying to get them back into my circle, my inner trusted circle, when maybe they were actually never there to start with? Or maybe they don't actually want to be there. There's a great quote, I'm sure many of you know, by Teddy Roosevelt, The Man in the Arena. And I'll just read a small part of it. It says, "It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena." And my question to you is, who is in the arena with you? Who's in there getting dirty with you? Who is crying with you? Who is cheering with you? Who is celebrating the loudest with you? It doesn't have to be the person you talk to the most. I have some friends out there in the wide world who I don't talk to much, but when an anniversary comes, they're the ones who write and say, "Oh, it's awesome. Happy anniversary." When my diagnosis came, they're the ones who said, "What can we do to help? What can we send? What do your kids need?" We are here in the arena with you. The people who aren't in that arena, who aren't willing to walk this life with you step by step, both the joys and the pains, both the highs and the lows, just ask yourself if they are worth the energy that you are putting out towards them. And sometimes the answer is yes. And for those people, fight. Go repair a relationship. Make sure it stays strong. Absolutely. But the people who aren't in that arena with you, the people who just like to make known their disappointment in you, the people who love you but might not even know that you're just doing everything to make them happy all the time. Again, it might not even be their fault. They might not even know because you've never let them know. Make sure that you are valuing yourself along the line, because I promise it is so important to make sure that you know you have value and worth. Okay, I think those are my thoughts on all of that. I know that many of you can relate, and yeah, thanks for letting me just talk it out today. It's been on my mind a lot, and I thought maybe if I could talk it out, it would help me get through it. I need to journal a little bit about it, probably. And I don't know if it's something that's just fixed overnight, so don't expect it to be. Like I said, it will change forms, but just start to think about it. Just start to notice in your life where it might be sitting with you, where it might be hitting, and see if you can start to remember some of those quotes I told you, See if you can start to value yourself. Make sure you know what you want in life. And make sure that you are tending your garden. Because that's the most important thing. We need all of us to tend our own gardens. We don't need to judge other people. We need to tend our own gardens. And that ripple effect of love and kindness will move throughout the world. Thanks so much for being here. I will talk to you soon.
Thank you so much for joining me today on Meet Your Body. If you have a moment, please consider rating and reviewing this podcast as it helps us tremendously. For more resources and workouts, you can visit my website, jessicavallantpilates.com, or find me on YouTube or Instagram at jessicavallantpilates.